Welcome to Legend Youth. Come and join us today as we listen to one of our very own students, Hannah Grant, share her journey of overcoming fear. Our hope is that you will find something today in this podcast that strengthens your faith and uplifts your spirit. Take a listen, and we hope you enjoy it. All right, so, you know, I just want to address the idea in the room that whatever you love the most, whatever seems to bring the most purpose in your life, whatever you really tend to thrive on, that's where the enemy likes to come in and attack you. Mm-hmm. So if you know Hannah, and a lot of you listening will probably know her, when I look at Hannah and I see Hannah, I always see someone who likes to laugh and cut on you. And me and Amber have been verbally abused.
Lots of sarcasm. Yeah. Raise your hand if you've been verbally abused by Regina George.
She likes to laugh. And like before we got this podcast started, like we were laughing, trying to get started, just laughing at each other, being silly. But so I know that like, when I look at you, I've never looked at you and not seen life in you. I've never looked at you and not seen that you love to live, that you love your friends and the people in your life, and that you're very drawn to people. And so even as reclusive as you can be, I've always seen that as a personality trait and not a, but I remember this time in your life, and I remember praying over you a few times, and I just remember deliverance coming into your life after that and just seeing, I've seen you struggle with it, but I want to talk to the crowd today about if you're on this podcast and you're listening and you feel like you can't enjoy life, if you feel like you can't enjoy your family, because the enemy comes into me with my family.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, you don't love your kids, or you don't love your spouse enough, or you don't have the right affection for them. And so,
or you don't deserve, that's what you've told me a lot.
Yeah. Like, or I'm not deserving of, like, I feel like sometimes Amber loves me more, you know, because it feels like I don't deserve the love that she has, that she gives me. Listen, I want to tell you today that is where the enemy targets you. He targets you in your most prized possessions.
Yeah.
He targets you in those moments. Like if you thrive on living life and your experiences, you know, he's going to come in there. So if you're dealing with suicide today and you're believing a lie today, maybe that your life's not important. I bet someone dealing with suicide today can look back 5-10 years ago and think about how much life meant to them. But somewhere in the numbness of it all, because you get numb.
Yeah, I did.
You get really numb. Somewhere in the numbness of it all, you kind of lose sight of what you thrive on.
Yeah.
Without the foundation of Christ.
Yeah.
Gosh, having a foundation in Jesus Christ.
So important.
So important to live a fulfilled life.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're looking for today if you're listening. I don't know what you're looking, if you're looking for an answer or if you're looking for a solution. Maybe you're looking for a quick fix. Hannah said a word that was intriguing to me that me and Amber have been talking about lately is the word cycles. It seems like it can cycle. When you deal with that kind of torment, if you're not careful, it'll cycle in and out of your life. And it'll come heavy, and then you'll find relief. And then it'll come heavy, and you'll find relief. And you'll start a lot of the reasons why I was told that I had obsessive compulsive disorder was because I would cope with man-made mechanisms. You know, hey, you got this thought, picture a stop sign, tell it to quit.
Yeah.
And go on. Or has someone ever looked at you and said, just quit thinking about it?
Yeah. It's like, I can't. Yeah. Like, I want to, trust me.
And so and the whole time you're trying to develop a system or a rhythm to come out of that. And you can't.
Yeah.
You just really, I told this to one of our leaders, was kind of doing the same thing. And I was like, you know, if you're not careful, you'll start to reason. You'll think you're reasoning your way out of a lie, but you're kind of reasoning with the enemy. And so you're just, you're not talking to the Lord anymore. You're talking to him. And so y'all, you and the devil are just exchanging a conversation.
It just makes you mentally exhausted.
Yeah, exhausted. No answers come from it.
And I remember many days I tried to reason with the devil and try to be like, no, I want to live because da, da, da. And it never made me feel better because the devil doesn't fight with reason.
No.
It's irrational. It's literally irrational.
It is literally irrational.
So you can't fight it with rational things. Like, it's not going to work.
Yes. So the Word of God is really the only rational thing. But does it mean, what is it just the Word? Is it relationship? I mean, talk about, share with us a little bit about the turning point. What changed? Like, how did you come out of it? Or what did you, how did you feel during it? Like, I don't know. Where do you start? There's so much to cover here.
Well, you know, for months, how I coped with it, I would just distract myself. Because I kind of got used to it. Like you're saying, you get numb.
Yeah.
And I got hopeless. And I remember telling the Lord one night, I mean, I remember vividly being like, you know, Lord, I think I'm going to deal with this forever. But it's okay. I won't leave you. Yeah. And I literally told the Lord that I accepted that
I felt that before.
Was going to just deal with this. That I was just going to be that person that never got out of it. And I was going to just live life. I didn't even try to like.
Yeah.
Go to the Lord, really. But for months, what I'd do is I'd watch a bunch of movies, Disney Plus. I'd hang out with friends a lot. I would read a lot of books, anything to get my mind off of it. Because I didn't want, if I ever stopped doing it, then my mind would just flood with all of those things.
Yeah.
And it didn't really change until Wild Ones. Wild Ones is kind of when it changed, but it wasn't really Wild Ones that changed it.
Wild Ones 2023?
Yeah.
That was a big year. So for those of you that don't know, Wild Ones is a conference.
Yeah.
Just a youth retreat that we take every year in our church. Talk about the hopelessness that you were, in a break, we were just talking about. How did you feel about, did you feel hopeful going into Wild Ones that something was going to change? Because, I mean, there's not much hope in that. And you saying, God, I'm here. Because I felt it.
Yeah.
I literally took that scripture in the Bible that talks about the thorn in the side. Yeah. And I've literally told the Lord, I guess this is my thorn.
Yeah.
And so I'll just live with this disastrous thought life. I'll just live with it, God. But I knew that I loved the Lord, so I would never leave you.
That's what is I knew this was the enemy. Like I knew this.
Yeah.
Well, sort of. I knew God, and I knew this wasn't of God, and I knew this wasn't necessarily of me. But the more that it was on me, the more I just kind of accepted it, you know. And I was like,
and when you accept it, it kind of breaks hope off of your life.
Yeah.
Because you don't think that it's ever going to change.
Yeah.
So you accept this default. It's really a false identity.
Yeah.
About your life. I mean, I feel like I accepted a lot of things in my childhood that caused me pain later.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of really solidified losing hope was at TYC. And it didn't change.
Yeah. TYC is another conference.
How we went in November. So it was like, I was just starting to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I went to TYC and I was like, okay, you know, this is going to come off. I'm going to stop dealing with it. And it didn't change. And then after that, I was like, okay, I guess this is just something that I'll deal with. And I think I told the Lord too, I was like, I won't do it. You know, I won't commit suicide. But, or at least, you know, I was still afraid I was going to. I mean, truthfully, I was afraid.
Right.
That's why I didn't want to. That was another reason why I didn't want to be by myself, because I was afraid I would do something like that.
Right.
Because, I don't know. It was just a weird time, and I went to Wild Ones, and I remember at Wild Ones they actually had a person up there talking about suicide.
Yep.
And the thing is when he called people down for suicide, I didn't feel necessarily a part of it, because I was like, well, I don't like actually want, you know, like I didn't struggle with wanting to do it and trying to stop myself.
Yeah.
I was struggling with the fear that you could. The fear that I would.
Yeah.
I was like, it was the fear that I would do it. So I was like, I don't know if I'm really a part of that.
Yeah, you were just torn.
Yeah, so I didn't go up. He called people up and like half the room went down, which was a shock.
Yeah, there was 2,500 kids in that room.
And like,
and over half the kids in the room went to the altar down. For suicide. That's the impact that suicide has on your generation.
It is insane. And I remember the guy saying, okay, there's two people that need to come down. And I felt like, you know when the Lord tells you to do something?
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt it. And I was like, because at this point, right, I didn't like to talk about, I haven't even told my parents what I'd, I had told nobody what I'd dealt with, that I had dealt with those thoughts, because I was too scared of, you know, image, because truthfully, image is a big deal. Like, we don't realize you put pastors on a higher pedestal,
right? Yes.
And I hate that it's like that, but it is.
That's true.
And they have this image.
Yep.
And if you even dare to tarnish it a little, then everybody's view on you changes.
Or at least the enemy convinces you of that. Yeah. But in a lot of ways, it is true.
And it's, I hate that. And so being in a pastor's family, I kind of felt like I was obligated to keep this image. I don't struggle. I don't struggle with those things. I don't deal with this. So we're going down there for me, because I'm sure nobody even remembers it, but going down there would be like showing that I dealt with it, because then all of my youth group would see me walking down for suicide.
Oh yeah, tough.
And I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't say that I'm struggling. But I did. I went down because he was like, two people need to come down here. And me and this other dude across the room went down. So, you know, that was the Lord. But when I went down there, they prayed over us. And I, like, fell out of the spirit and whatever. And it was, I felt peace.
Yeah.
But in that Sunday even, I, like, went up on stage and I talked about speaking in tongues and how, you know, you have to be louder than the devil.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, okay, I'm finally over it. I'm finally good now. Okay, like,
yeah.
And then that afternoon, it came back on me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I felt so hopeless, because I was like, no way I just went to RTTN. I mean, that's probably, I'd never had a spirit-filled experience like I did at RTTN for Wild Ones.
Yeah.
I was like, no way I just went to the most spirit-filled place I could, and I didn't get healed.
Right. So we're a spirit-filled church. We're a lively bunch, and you mentioned praying in tongues and praying in what we call a heavenly prayer language, and that's edified in the Word on Acts 2, chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came and He became our Comforter. So you're walking with, or you're trying to walk with at this time, the Holy Spirit. You're hearing His voice. He's manifesting in your life. And you feel like you get breakthrough, and all of a sudden,
it all comes back. And it was like really disheartening, because I was like, man, I just went through all that and it's still there. And I don't know if what was the service? We had a service. Was it Sunday night or Monday night?
Was it the spontaneous?
Mm-hmm.
It was a spontaneous church service.
After Wild Ones, everyone was fired up.
Yep.
And I don't remember if it was Sunday night or Monday night.
I think it was Sunday night.
I remember I went, and at first I was like a little discouraged at the service, I think. But like at the end, everyone was praying. Everyone was fired up from Wild Ones. I mean, a lot of people had gotten breakthrough.
Right.
Spirit-filled. It was amazing. But I remember sitting on the stage, and it was kind of already, the service had ended. I told the Lord, I was like, I'm not leaving until something's different. Like, I cannot leave this service and still be struggling with this. Like, something's got to change.
Right.
And I think at that point, I think it was Amber that saw something on me.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
I remember that very well. And the door closes, and Amber's letting the cat out. Like, we're living here. We don't have a recording studio yet, so we're in our living room, so it's okay.
I was trying to be quiet. Sorry.
No but, opening doors.
Yeah, I think it was Amber that saw whatever it was on me.
I just remember, like, this is what it was. I remember every time you would begin to speak out in prayer, there was another voice that was, like, coming over your voice. And I was like, okay.
Oh, wow.
The enemy is trying to shut her up.
Hmm.
And this is not okay.
Come on, say it. Yeah.
Because I was like, she's got something to say. The Lord's trying to speak through her. And he's trying to shut it down. And yeah. This is not okay. So I remember going to Jordan and being like, something's on Hannah. Or, like, coming at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bible says that we don't fight wars against flesh and blood, but we fight spiritual wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember praying with you, Hannah, and then just that moment of release in the atmosphere. I mean, you remember what that felt like?
That was like a missing moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like on the ground, hair flipped over, bawling, and you were telling me, you were like, you got to say it out loud. Like, you just got to speak it out. And at this point, right, I had never told anybody what I was dealing with.
Right.
I kept all that in. And so, and my mom is in this room, like other youth. At point, it was just like 10 people that stayed after that were still praying.
Right.
And I was like yelling it. I was yelling it out. You were just praying over me and you were telling me to speak it out. And I was speaking over, you know, fear and suicide and insecurity and just speaking it all out. And I could feel it coming off. I think people in the room said they could see things falling off.
Yeah, you were just, it just was a moment of freedom. It was so good. Let's talk about the messy moments with the Lord then. Let's talk about that. Because I don't know how to say it other than to just say it. Is that he is a God of messy moments. He doesn't make the mess, but he's not afraid of our mess.
Yeah, that's good.
So the mess that we think that we create, see, someone listening right now, you're not approaching getting any healing because you're just afraid that your life is too much of a mess. But God is not afraid of that.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of your mess. He wasn't afraid of all the things that you were bottling up in that moment of prayer. And to some people listening to this podcast, it may sound crazy and weird, but that's one thing that the church is also not talking about. We're putting like pretty pamphlets out on how to get healing and go through this course and do this thing. And we're not always talking about how God just really wants to speak to your heart and just deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is a God who wants to deal with your messy problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we are church kids.
Yeah. So it's like,
so you don't talk about your mess.
Yeah.
No.
You don't have a mess. It's what you're made to, not made to believe, but kind of what you put on yourself.
Yeah.
You don't have anything to complain about.
And I really believe that that is more of a lie of the enemy than it is an actual feeling of the people that we minister to.
Now, nobody made me feel that way.
Yeah.
I kind of just felt that way, and nobody put that on me. Nobody told me, you know, you cannot have a struggle. I just kind of felt that way, like it's an attack of the enemy.
It is an attack of the enemy. At the same time, you love your parents, you love their ministry, and you would never want to be the blight. Like, I don't want to be the blight on why, you know, I don't want to be the problem.
Well, yeah, it's like, what does that look like if, I mean, I know nobody's thinking that, but for me, I was like, what does it look like? I'm dealing with suicidal thoughts. How does that look on my parents? You know, like, it's not because of them. It's not because of anything they've ever done. It's not because of my family life or my home life. And I didn't ever want to put that image of that, you know?
Yeah. The enemy will use any kind of excuse, lie, weapon to keep us from breaking out of the box of freedom. And so I want to just that time of prayer and change. I remember going through days with you where mm-hmm. after that, even after that,
yeah,
where it was a wave of coming back. And
it was a struggle. It was fun. A lot of people want to think, and sometimes it does happen. You get deliverance right there.
Yeah.
And you just drop it and you never deal with it again and you're good. But for me, it was a process.
Yep.
It was a process till like July.
Yeah.
So it was like March to July. I had to walk it out with the Lord.
Yeah.
So I felt peace, and we had prayer nights for like every day for the next 2 weeks. And those were amazing.
Yeah, they were.
And the Lord moved in that and spoke to me through it. And I felt like I went deeper. But during that time, I really had to lean on the Lord. And I really had to learn how to walk that out. And that started with meeting with y'all regularly.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I know some of those meetings were like pulling teeth because I didn't want to talk about what I dealt with. Yeah, I spoke it out, but I didn't really want to talk about it.
Right.
You know, like I didn't really want to discuss it. I wanted to kind of, I still wanted it to, you know, act like it didn't really happen.
Yeah.
And kind of forget about it. I didn't want to sit in a room with my youth pastors and talk about.
You wanted to be delivered and move on.
Yeah. I didn't want to have to continue going through this and talk about it. And every time I'd even said the word suicide, my face would get blood red. And
I remember days that I would say, just say it. And you'd be like, no. You would literally start shaking.
Yeah.
You would rather shake and turn red than to say the word suicide.
It just scared me that bad. Please.
So what would you say to the person listening to the podcast right now? Maybe they're on the move bus. Maybe they're listening to the youth ministry. It doesn't really matter where they're pouring in from. What would you say to them right now if they were struggling to talk to somebody about what they're feeling, no matter what it is, whether it's suicide or just anxiety or fear, how irrational, maybe anything, maybe what they're attracted to, whatever it is.
I would strongly encourage going to any kind of church leader figure, because confessing it and talking it is so much easier to process and go through when you speak it out. It became more real when I would talk to somebody about it and I could process what I was feeling and where it was coming from, especially with y'all who knew what I was going through, who were wiser than me and had walked out this journey with the Lord. So you could speak to me and tell me, this is how you need to go through this. This is what the Lord says about this, you know, that, and just constantly speak truth into me. And I would strongly encourage learning how to hear God's voice, because that's what saved me during that time. Because after I got delivered, it was kind of like this wrestling. Like I could feel a wrestling of my flesh and my spirit. One day I would wake up and I would feel victory over every situation. Be like, okay, you know, enemy, you can try to attack me with it today, but it's not going to get me. Like,
yeah,
I have victory. And the next day I wouldn't even want to get out of bed.
Wow. Come on.
But learning how to hear God's voice and y'all teaching me just, you know, those little questions that at first I had trouble with, you know, ask God what favorite game or what game you'd want to play with me.
Yeah.
Or do you love me? I mean, at the time it seemed like, you know, why am I asking this? This is dumb. Yeah. But it really, really helped me go through that and be able to just learn how to hear God. And through it, he showed me so much and equipped me. And I can look back at it now and see that it was a process that was needed.
Yeah.
For God to equip me how to deal with spiritual warfare.
Right.
Because that we have to learn how to fight spiritual warfare.
Yes. We're in the battle.
Yes.
We're in a battle. I want to say to what you're saying, some of you are listening today and you may not have a trusted religious leader. You may not have a trusted youth pastor. Maybe it's not because you don't trust your youth pastor, but maybe it's because you just don't have a youth pastor. You don't know what that means. I want to tell you to go to themovebus.com. Themovebus.com, you'll be able to scroll to the bottom of the page there, and you can fill out a form that is confidential. It'll get over to us, and we have a team from people from different churches and different walks of life that would love to introduce you to Jesus, that would love to introduce you to healing. And so we partner with different churches in the community to do this right here, to reach people who have questions. And so we want you to tap into that.
Yeah, and I want to say too that if you're a church leader listening, just to, in this moment, to just ask the Lord to break your heart for what breaks his in this, because sometimes I know we deal with so many things as church leaders that sometimes we become numb and cold towards issues that may be brought to us. So I just want to encourage you, because you may be listening to this and tomorrow you may have someone reach out to you like needing counseling and help through an issue like this. And I just want to encourage you to go ahead and ask the Lord to prepare your heart for that, and to welcome them in to you helping them get through that. I don't know. I just felt like I needed to say that. So.
I think that's good. I remember the life-changing event of hearing the Lord's voice for the first time. It changed me. My process is really kind of still playing out. And so don't be discouraged by the process of healing, because it is a process and it does take time. And especially if you've been dealing with it for a long time, not to say that the Lord can't do it in 5 minutes, but a lot of times your process is more about what he wants to use in you than it is just you getting over something. See, when I feel like what changed in you, a part of what changed in you was realizing that, hey, I'm not going through this just to get freedom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going through this to help other people.
Yeah.
Because I know someone out there is dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's when you started looking at it from that perspective, it helped you, because then you got freedom. And I remember you coming to us a few times. It's like, I just feel useless. Like, I'm sitting on the couch and like, you know, I don't know what to do. It's because the Lord birthed, whether we want to believe it or not, he did birth something inside of us to serve him.
Yeah.
We are servants. And part of serving him is sharing the gospel with other people. So I love that you're walking this out. What you're doing right now is going to be more monumental than you could have ever imagined. Sharing your story is huge. If it changes one person's life,
yeah,
it's one person that we celebrate tremendously, because it lets that person know that they're not alone, that they're not fighting by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to talk about. Nobody in your circle would ever judge you or condemn you for how you felt, but the enemy had so convinced you that this couldn't be talked about.
Yeah.
And that's really what's happening for the listener right now, probably, is that no one in their life would really judge them, but they don't want to admit or feel like they can't, the shame and the guilt. Because once you get past the fear of it, then the shame comes. Well, how could you ever think a thought like that?
Mm-hmm.
How could that ever? But the Bible says that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus, if you're feeling shame right now, it is not the Lord.
Yeah.
He convicts so that we can change and turn, but he doesn't shame us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if religion has shamed you, if something like that has brought shame in your life, let's get out of religion and let's step into relationship.
Yeah.
And teach people how to be relational with the Lord. I mean, so how do you feel today in regards to where you were in 2022?
Well, I definitely feel like I've grown a lot.
Yeah.
Because just those couple months between March and July, the Lord spoke so much to me. I mean, y'all gave me a board I don't know what those boards are called.
It's like a...
Where you stick pins on it.
It's a cork board.
Yeah.
Cork board. That y'all bought that for me, and I got these little index cards. And whenever the Lord would speak something to me, or a verse stuck out to me, I'd put it on there. And all of these things, like, God used my imagination. I started getting, like, these images and these visions, you know. So when the enemy would try to attack me with an image of something dark, of a suicidal thing, the Lord would come in and give me, like, for a long time, what gave me a lot of peace was I got this vision of a hand holding out a pearl.
I remember that.
Yeah. And
that's what I was just thinking about.
Like, I found a picture on the internet and drew it because I can't draw. But, like, it gave me so much peace because when I started looking into what it meant and all of it, it spoke so much to my situation. It was so much about promise.
Yeah.
The God kept telling me I have promises and I have things. I'm giving you wisdom and purity and I'm giving you the keys in the kingdom. Because you know the parable about the pearl.
Yep.
About, can't even think.
The pearl of great price.
Yeah. Finding the pearl, and I think he, like, gave away all his other pearls. Or I'm forgetting it now, but.
That's all right.
And it's like, that's the kingdom of God, is like that pearl. And the Lord started speaking to me about what a pearl is when you look up
right.
What a pearl means. It's like wisdom and purity and knowledge and wisdom and, like, protection. And it was all the things that I needed. And God was telling me, he's like, I'm giving you these things. Like, I'm handing it out.
Yes.
I literally saw a hand holding out. And he's like, are you going to take it?
Right.
But you have to surrender. You have to give away all of your other things. You have to put away all of your worldly things, all of the things you've held on to, fleshly things.
Well, you know how a pearl is made too.
Yeah, through.
So, like, it's an irritant.
Yeah.
Like, it's a piece of sand that irritates the, what is it, clam, an oyster?
The clam.
Whatever. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it comes out this expensive, beautiful thing, you know? But it starts out as an irritant to that.
Yeah.
Whatever. Clam.
Yeah.
So what irritated you for a season
turned into
something.
Promise.
Yeah.
And that's what I held on to for a long time, because it's so much. I mean, I would just encourage anybody, get to know how to hear God's voice.
Yeah. Come
because on. It is one thing to hear somebody, your pastor speaking over you. And that's amazing when your pastor or somebody is praying over you and they speak to your life. Like, you hold those dear, but I hold so dear the words that God spoke to me directly that I know were from God. Like, I know that vision was from the Lord.
Right.
All of those things he spoke to me were from God, and I hold those so close. I held on to those promises on the days that I felt like I was still struggling. And I was like, God, why do I not feel delivered? Like, I know I am, but why am I not seeing the promises? It's like that whole waiting. You know,
yes,
that's hard to do, is be patient. And I think the Lord was teaching me patience through that too. Like, you got to learn how to be patient while I am equipping you.
Right.
How to deal with this. Because you've got to learn. You can't learn how to fight spiritual warfare unless you fight it. You know, like, you can't learn how to do it until you do it. And so I was having to go through it and learn how to fight and learn to not reason it with the devil, not trying to just justify your life or.
Yeah.
You know, but just knowing the truth of God and knowing what he says about me and hanging on to those promises.
Yes.
And looking back at it now, I can see where God's hand was on it through it all, where he was leading me through it, even when it felt like, am I ever going to really get over this? I could see where he was moving and where he was speaking and how he was equipping.
You know, Jeremiah 33. And 3, one of my favorite scriptures I tell y'all all the time in youth group. And to sum it up, it just says, call to me and I will give you, and I will tell you mysteries and great things. And it's just basically a call to know him. It's just a call to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's a call to, it was an invitation of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah to actually speak out of the things that we desire to know about our lives. and that he wants to come into everything about us and tell us, and that a lot of the things that we walk out, that we literally have to walk out, are mysteries to us.
Yeah.
But to him, he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And see, but if we don't know him, we don't know that.
Yeah.
And so, that's good. When you get to know him, you realize is that he's walking you on a path.
Yeah.
And as you walk the mystery out, he reveals the answers.
I think too, I think about that scripture and think about it saying, call to me. And I think about like picking up the phone and calling someone. And if I call them and I get their voicemail and I'm the one doing all the talking in the voicemail, I'm not receiving anything out of that. I have to sit and have to wait to receive that, which sometimes we do have to wait. The Lord's not going to answer right away. But I think a lot of times we spend a lot of time in prayer talking, and we don't spend a lot of time in prayer listening. And so I just think about a phone call, like a productive phone call, you're going to spend some time listening to.
Yeah.
And so, like she was saying, learning to hear his voice. If you're going to have a productive conversation with the Lord, it's not just you talking.
Yeah.
It's going to be waiting for his response and hearing his response. And you have to know how to hear his response in order to do that.
It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But when it's done, it's done. When he speaks, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's so good to know that his voice speaks. So I want to ask you, as we kind of close this conversation out, what would you say, if you feel good about it? You feel like you shared everything you want to say?
I just want to share one scripture.
Share scripture.
This scripture like really helped me through that time, because it was one of the first times I really knew I was hearing God. So what happened is, I remember doing dishes during those couple months. I would hear God in all kinds of ways. I could give like a million stories of where I heard God, and it was so amazing. But sometimes, you know, the enemy wants to make you doubt, like, are you really hearing God? You know, is this just you? And I remember one night I was doing the dishes, and all of a sudden I got these words in my head, greater is he who is in you than he is in the world.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't know if that was a scripture or not. Like, I was like, I don't know where those words came from. I think it might be in the Bible. And I went and looked, and I was looking through the Bible, and I was looking it up, and it was a scripture. And the Lord spoke to me a lot about it, and about the scripture, stuff that I had talked about with y'all before about love. Like, I won't go into all of it, but he poured out a lot in that scripture. But I started getting a little doubt afterwards, and I was like, God, I just need confirmation. I just need to know that this is you that spoke all of that over this scripture.
Come on. Yeah.
And the next morning, I never checked the verse of the day, but the next morning I looked, I was like, I feel like I need to check the verse of the day today. And on the verse of the day was 1 John 4:4. And it was, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Come on.
And I mean, my jaw dropped after that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's just confirmation that everything you said about that was true. You just confirmed everything. And I remember like running to y'all and telling y'all.
I remember that day.
Excited, because I was like, I heard God's voice and now I know.
Yes, come on.
I was like, thank you, Lord, for that.
Get me excited up in here.
Yes, I was like, thank you, Lord, for that confirmation. I needed that. And that was just spoke to me.
Speak to someone listening right now that may be dealing with suicide. What does God say about them? What does God want for them? And just kind of just take a moment to just pour that out for just a second. Take your time. It's all good.
I would say to anybody dealing with suicide that you are an overcomer.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard right now to say that you are. Right now, it's hard to believe that you are an overcomer, because I was right there. And it's like, nah, this isn't going to stop.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're justifying. I don't know what part. I always knew I didn't want to. But maybe there's somebody out there that's like really justifying why they should end their life.
Yeah.
They have reasons, justification. And I would just tell you so badly, like, your life can change so radically God can change you so radically that you will not be able to recognize who you were before.
Yes.
And if you would just give God a chance to speak to your life, it may not happen in a moment.
Yeah.
There may not be a moment where all of a sudden you don't deal with that anymore, because that wasn't it for me. And I can't tell you when it just changed just like that. It just kind of gradually went away as I started trusting God more.
Yes.
But I would tell you, please do not give up hope and think that's an answer.
Yeah.
I walk through the hallways of school sometimes, and I'll look and I'll think about how many people are dealing with things that nobody knows.
Right.
Because you're talking about, you look at me and you would never think.
Right.
I've learned in the last year from different people I've talked to, the things they tell me they struggle with, I would have never thought they struggled with that.
Yeah.
You don't ever know what somebody's struggling with.
Yep.
And I'm just like, how many kids are going home to abusive parents?
Yeah.
Or maybe they're dealing with addiction.
Right.
Suicide. Maybe they're, I mean, trafficking. I mean, you do not know what any of these kids are dealing with.
Yeah.
And I would just say to you, do not lose hope. You are an overcomer, and the scripture is truth.
Yes.
I know you can read scripture and be like, oh yeah, but it is truth. Like, yes. God's word does not return void.
Yes.
It is truth. And he will come and he will rescue you.
Yes.
He will not leave you hanging. And it may feel like you're left alone, but I promise you, you are not. And I always think about, like, one of the first times God spoke to me was Moses raising his hands.
Yes.
And when he would raise his hands, the Amalekite, they would win against the Amalekites. Yeah. But when he'd put them down, they were losing. And God spoke to me so much through that. You need to praise God.
Yes.
Through the storm. The Lord spoke to me, your praise comes before your breakthrough.
Oh, yes.
So I would strongly encourage getting to know God, getting to have that relationship. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you already have that relationship. Continue to praise God. Even if you don't feel that breakthrough, it's coming. You need to praise God for what he's about to do. And praise God for who he is. I mean, if he never did another thing, he is worthy.
That's right.
Of the praise. But when you praise, you are winning.
Yeah.
You have the victory. You already have the victory.
Yeah.
So you need to praise him, and you will begin to win, and you will win over every attack of the enemy.
Yes.
And I think Aaron helped raise his hands.
Yeah.
And there are people raising your hands. You don't even know it. You don't, maybe you feel alone. Like, I know I felt alone.
Go ahead and say what you're about to say.
Are people praying for you.
Yes.
If anybody, I'm praying for you. We're praying for you.
Yes.
There are people out there praying for you, and there are people that you can go to that will speak over you, that will pray over you. So you are not alone in this.
Right. Come on. It
doesn't matter what you're dealing with. There's somebody out there dealing with it too.
That's it.
And there's somebody praying over it too.
Yeah.
So I just strongly encourage, I know it can feel like a lonely time. I know it can feel like, you want to be like, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't understand my family life. You don't understand. Okay, I don't, but God does.
That's right. God definitely does.
And there's nothing you can go through that God can't change. I mean, look at all the people in the Bible. Job lost everything.
Yeah.
And God restored it tenfold.
Yeah, he did.
So there's nothing that you can go through that God can't turn for your good.
Yeah.
And can restore.
Yes.
And can heal.
Yeah.
So I just,
if you would have known Hannah in 2022, this conversation that you just declared would never have come out of your mouth.
Oh yeah. It's a big deal for me even to say the word suicide. Yeah. I mean.
And so just to let you know that seeing God literally change her life has been so wonderful. And God is okay with you putting him to the test.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Gideon in the Bible who
lay out a fleece.
He would lay out a fleece, which was a material, and he would say, "All right, Lord, make the ground dry and the fleece wet." And then God would do it. If this is what you want me to do, and God would do it. And then he'd say, "Well, it's not good enough, God. Now reverse it. Make the fleece dry." I don't even know what I said the first time. The ground wet, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So, and God, you know what? God didn't look at him that day and say, "No, sorry, buddy, you're pushing my luck, your luck with me." That God is so radically in love with all of us, that he is okay with us putting him to the test.
Yeah.
So if you don't know the Lord, put him to the test today. I would just want to encourage you guys to reach out to us at Legend Youth Ministries or themovebus.com and just get on there. Find us on social media. Find us on themovebus.com and just find the form at the bottom of the page and reach out to someone. Let us pray with you. Hannah would be more than happy to pray with you if you would, if you want a fellow student or someone praying with you. So I just want to do what we always do in church and close this out in prayer. Hannah, I want you to pray for the generation listening to this podcast.
That's a lot of pressure.
You got this. You can just start. You just pray how the Lord gives it to you. And I'll tell you what, I'll pray first, and then I'll open the floor for you. And Amber, you can pray first if you want to. Want to pray?
No, you're good.
All right. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for the people listening today and the days to come. And Lord, I just speak to those people who are dealing with mental anguish, depression, anxiety, and all the things, that we've opened up a pathway for them to hear the truth and hear the voice of the Lord. I thank you for Hannah, and I thank you for her testimony. And I thank you, God, that you were just breathing life into this moment. And so, Lord, we just trust your hand, and we give you all the praise for this. And so as Hannah begins to release, Lord, we just agree with what you're doing in this moment.
God, I just thank you for today, God. I thank you for this day that we are alive.
Yeah, come on.
I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. I just pray for every person listening, God, Lord, that your hand would just touch their life. Whatever their situation is, God, you can turn it into a testimony, and every testimony is important, God.
Yeah.
We go through everything, God, and you turn it for our good so that it can reach somebody else dealing with that same thing. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just work within each and every life, God, that they will begin to trust you, God, that they will have a hunger to seek your word, God, and your truth, that they would believe it, God. Lord, that they would hear your voice, that you would just start to speak over them, God, and that they would have faith to believe, God, that you are moving and that you haven't left them, God. Lord, I just pray right now, God, I pray for every person dealing with suicide or fear or anxiety or depression, whatever it is, God, addiction, it doesn't matter, God. You can take it out just like that, God. It doesn't matter how deep they're in or how far they've gone or if they feel like they can't go back, God. Lord, you have called us to walk on top of all of those things. The enemy is under our feet, and he cannot overcome us. We are overcomers, God. I just pray right now, God, a victory mindset over each and every person listening, God, that they will be strengthened by this, God, and they will go throughout their week or wherever they're at right now, God, and they would just begin to seek you and seek your voice, and you would begin to speak truth over them, God. Yes. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. In your name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Signing off.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.